Christ is risen from the dead. By death he has trampled down death, and upon those in the tombs he has bestowed life. Alleluia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you this morning to worship from the sanctuary at Ozark Presbyterian Church. We're here to give thanks, praise, and worship to our great God and Savior, in Jesus Christ, by the working of His Spirit, and we are glad that you are here with us. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship in silence. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship God. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Almighty God, who has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the glorious Prince of Salvation, with everlasting victory over hell and the grave, grant unto us power, we beseech you, to rise with him to newness of life, that we may overcome the world with the victory of faith, and have part at last in the resurrection of the just, through the merits of this same risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Jesus calls us to confession this morning with these words: "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Praying together, then, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us, we beseech you, from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with lowliness and meekness we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. O Lord Jesus, Prince of life and firstborn from the dead, whom though we have not seen, we love, breathe upon us that we may receive the Holy Ghost to abide with us continually, both as the seal of our adoption and as a down payment of our promised possession. Give us power to walk in the Spirit, that we may not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but rather put sin to death in our flesh, which is upon the earth, and purify ourselves even as you are pure, so that at your second coming to judge the world in righteousness, we also may appear with you, having our mortal bodies changed into the likeness of your own glorious body, according to the working whereby you are able to subdue all things unto yourself, the God over all, blessed forever. Amen.
Trust his truth and might. He calls me his. I call him mine, my God, my joy, my light. 'Tis he who saveth me and freely pardon gives. I love because he loveth me. I live because he lives.
And now, hear the good news promised to everyone who sincerely turns to God and believes in his promises in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now we come to our morning psalm. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible, the prayer book of the church, a marvelous gift of God's grace to his people. Last week in the sermon, I said that if we don't hear Christ praying the Psalms with us and for us, then we have badly misunderstood the Bible. You see, it's as someone has said, Jesus takes us along with him in his prayers, and in doing so, he teaches us how to pray. It is Christ's desire and his delight to pray with us and for us, and it's his desire and delight to have us pray with him, because it's only in Christ that we are able to pray at all, and certainly to pray correctly. And so in this spiritual discipline of prayer in and with Christ, we learn to be confident that God hears us. We learn to rejoice that the God who made us and all things delights in our prayers, that we pray according to his will. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 16. It's a prayer of hope and confidence and of contentment, of Jesus Christ's hope and confidence and contentment first, but then of our own, because we are in him. In this psalm, we hear the voice of Christ praying to the Father. And so we hear the voice of the church, your voice and mine, together with all the saints, praying to the Father. One theologian describes Psalm 16 this way: Christ, when he had suffered for us, was not left in the place of the dead. As the psalm begins, he speaks according to his humanity to the Father, praying that he may be preserved, because he has always placed his hope in him. Then he mentions us, his saints, chosen not by the desires of the flesh, but by the virtues of the Holy Spirit. He affirms that everything he endured was for the glory of his inheritance, that is, for the glory of God himself, who in Christ is our beautiful inheritance. Then he goes on, returning thanks to the Father, who standing on his right hand overcame the iniquity of this world by his unimaginable power. He affirms that his soul was set free from death, and after the glory of his resurrection, he went up to the pleasures of God's right hand, that glorious promise fulfilled first to Jesus Christ, the God-man, the first fruits of the dead, and in God's own good time, to us, his saints. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is Psalm 16, a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. My lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, our good Father in heaven, you are rich in all things and abundant in works. But we are so poor. We have nothing with which to increase your happiness or your blessedness. Indeed, we are but beggars before your majesty. But still, O Lord, our hope is in you alone, and so we pray that you will protect us from the evils that surround us on every side. Forgive the sins that burden us. Grant that, as you have become our inheritance, we may always take our delight in you alone, always find it pleasant and beautiful to worship you alone. Teach us, advise us, stand always before our eyes, lest we turn away from the straight path and lose the joy with which you have blessed us in this life and the blessedness of our resurrected life still to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning is a reading from Isaiah. Someone has said that the meaning of this passage is quite simple, that we, God's people, exist in order to proclaim that God, the Lord, alone is God. This is a courtroom scene. The nations are in the gallery watching. The prophet is the Lord's court reporter. And God's people, those deaf and blind ones who are brought in as God's witnesses. But because his witnesses have failed in their calling, they are deaf and blind, the Lord must testify for himself. In this passage, God is reminding us, he's prompting us, if you will, to remember our duty to bear witness to him, to his power, his glory, his salvation. You heard this yesterday in the lesson from Acts chapter 4. The faithful prayed for boldness, and the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're told they continued to bear witness. As it was with them, may it be for us also. God in Christ is the light of the world, and we have been made children of the light, and we are bound. It is our duty to bear witness about the light. This is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 8 through 13. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together, and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no god was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange god among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Also henceforth I am he. Here is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And this is the song of the faithful. To the King of kings and Lord of lords be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Great indeed is the mystery of godliness. Jesus the Christ was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Alleluia. Amen. The epistle lesson is a reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, look on us and have mercy on us, you who are both victim and priest, reward and redeemer. Keep safe from all evils those whom you have redeemed, O Savior of the world. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is a reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Give maturity to beginners, O Father. Give intelligence to the little ones. Give aid to those who are running their course. Give sorrow to the negligent and fervor of spirit to the lukewarm. Give to the mature a good consummation, and all for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's a principle of biblical interpretation that says that things that are repeated bear looking into. They bear looking into because repeated things carry with them some particularly important message, something that God's people need to hear and understand and believe. In the words of the Book of Common Prayer, these are the sorts of things that we need to inwardly digest. We need to make these things a part of us. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And again, a little later that night, he said to them, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." And then in our passage today, when Jesus suddenly appears to his disciples in that locked room, imagine their surprise. This is his first appearance to any of them except for the faithful women who had come to the tomb, and I suppose the men on the way to Emmaus. But Jesus appears now to his gathered disciples, and what are his first words to them? What does he say to those fearful, confused, questioning disciples? "Peace be with you." Twice he said it that night, and then 8 days later, in that same locked room, Jesus appears again when Thomas is there, and he says the same thing, "Peace be with you." Now, on one level, I suppose we might say that this is just a common greeting among the Jews. It was in those days. It's a polite way of saying hello. It still is in the Middle East. Shalom Aleichem in Hebrew, and something similar in Arabic. It's a way of wishing other people well, of saying to them, "May you be well and happy." But Jesus is going for something deeper here, I think. He's not just being polite. He's telling them something that they profoundly need to hear and to believe and know and understand. It might help us to understand a little of what must have been going on in their minds since the events of Thursday night and Friday. The extent of their sorrow at the judicial murder of Jesus, the extent of their fear for themselves, the overwhelming sense of the futility of it all. All that they had lived through, all that they had heard and seen from Jesus, all that they had hoped would come to pass through Jesus. It was just like chaff that the wind blows away. As one of the church fathers wrote, in the events that they had been living through, the disciples were overwhelmed by grief. The murkiness of night had increased and become pervasive. No darkness of night can be compared with the gloom of their grief and fear. When I read that, I was reminded of what sometimes happened on the ship I was on when I was in the Navy. When we were at sea, every now and then, in the middle of the night, the power plant would break down and everything on the ship went dark and still and silent. It was eerie. It was so dark, so quiet, that it would wake me up. The silence, the darkness would wake me up from a dead sleep. But as odd and disquieting as that was, all that darkness and silence was nothing compared with the gloom, the terror, the night that the disciples were going through. And then it happened. The miracle of miracles. Jesus is with them. And those lovely words full of hope and glory. Peace be upon you. The Master has kept his confusing promise. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while and you will see me. They see him. He is with them. And with that greeting, so commonplace, so normal, so everyday, Jesus breathes on them joy and tranquility of spirit. The day has broken. It's not that they understood it all. That would take a while. But at least they could breathe again. But what was this peace that Jesus was offering them, giving them? It was himself, Christ, his presence, his love, his faith, his power. Christ is our peace, our return to tranquility, our return to relationships, to calling God our Father. Isaiah had spoken of a kingdom of peace and good things and salvation, and here he was standing before them in the flesh. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about, what he was desiring for all the saints when he wrote, "The peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." For the peace of Christ, the peace that belongs to Christ, the peace that comes from Christ, is the peace of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Peace be upon you." Then Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, it's the Spirit of Christ who brings, who delivers, who applies to the faithful the peace of Christ and every other blessing. And so, now, at last, those first disciples became what God had always intended his people to be. They could sing Psalm 16 knowing that their beautiful inheritance had been given to them, that their inheritance was God himself. They were given eyes to see and ears to hear so that they could bear witness, true living witness to the only true and living God. They became living stones in the temple of God, priests holy to God, offering to him holy and acceptable sacrifices of themselves. That's what the peace of Christ and all his blessings consists of. And as it was for the weak, frightened, sorrowful, confused by circumstances, disciples in Jerusalem, so it is for you and me. We have the Spirit of Christ. And so we have Christ. And so we have the peace that comes from Christ. It's ours, brothers and sisters. It's been given to us as a free gift received by faith. And how do we tap into that peace in the midst of all the troubles that surround us? How do we know in our own experience the peace of Christ? I think the Apostle Paul has the key in that passage I quoted just a little bit of a minute ago. How does the peace of God in Jesus Christ come to the likes of you and me? The Apostle writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Does that sound familiar? It should, because it's the same thing that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that verse that's at the top of the emails I send out to the church every day about daily prayer. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then in that passage, the apostle goes on to say, and do not quench the Spirit. Follow the Spirit's leading into the peace of Christ. And how do we do that? How do we learn to follow the Spirit's leading into the peace of Christ? How do we learn to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances? Well, you do what Jesus did, as he followed the Spirit's leading perfectly. The Apostle Peter tells us that Christ left us an example to follow, so do what Jesus did. Read and meditate on the Scriptures, especially the Psalms, I think. They're a guide to every human experience and emotion. Hide the Word of God in your heart, as the psalmist tells us. Learn to pray. That is, study the prayers in the Bible. See how they're constructed. See how we ought to pray. Study the prayers of the church, those marvelous gifts of the Spirit to the people of God. Study the hymns of the church. Read books by godly men and women. Read new books and old books. Read books on theology, books on devotion. Read books. It's really all quite simple. I'm not saying that it's easy, but it is simple. And you have the power of Christ. You have His Spirit in you to guide you, to teach you, to help you. Learn the way Jesus learned. And then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. That's the way into the peace of Christ. The benediction that I pronounce at the end of every funeral is a saying from St. John Chrysostom. I love this saying. I hope you will love it too, because it is true and it is helpful. Maybe you should write it down and put it on your refrigerator or stick it up to your mirror. The blessed preacher says, the Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The peace that comes from the world is changeable and easily destroyed. But Christ's peace is strong, unshaken, firm, fixed, steadfast, immune to death, and unending. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you, my brothers and sisters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, our Father, we praise and thank you for all your love and mercy, for the mystery of the cosmos with all its beauty and goodness, and for our relationships, for those whom we love and those who love us. Most of all, we praise and thank you, Lord God the Almighty, because you have counted us worthy to be born again and have poured out your Holy Spirit over us in order to unite us to Christ within the body of the church, never to be separated from you or from the fellowship of the faithful by alien works. Father, give us hearts that are always mindful of the wonders of your kindness and goodness, so that loving and serving you as we ought, we may live to the praise and honor of your name, bearing witness to your greatness in everything. Father, hear our intercessions now as we pray together in the name of Christ. We pray for your church, Father. As our Lord Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved to compassion, inspire the body of Christ to that sort of love and compassion for others. Teach us to love not in word only, but in doing good. As you care for both the souls and bodies of people, move us and all your servants with like care and mercy, that the hungry may be fed, the naked clothed. Give us eyes to see and hearts open to love the homeless, the friendless, the lonely or bereaved, all for the good of our neighbor and to the glory of your name. Father, as you look and see our many infirmities and struggles, our troubles and secret griefs, we pray that you will heal and comfort those who are sick, those who mourn, those who suffer from fruitless toils, shattered hopes, irksome temptations, or any other sort of adversity. Grant that we all, whatever our outward circumstances, may trust you in every trial. In your mercy, deliver us safely through our troubles and sorrows as you think best for us, for Jesus' sake. Lord, rejoicing in the communion of the saints, we pray for our brothers and sisters here on earth, in other lands, in other denominations and branches of the faith. Especially, Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters under persecution. Almighty God, you are a very present help in time of trouble. Do not let the heart of your people fail when any sort of fear strikes, but rather sustain and comfort them until these present troubles are past, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Holy and mighty Lord, who turned back the angel of the plague from the dwellings of your people, we beseech you to hear our cry for those who are suffering and dying under this present pestilence. In your mercy, give understanding and sound judgment to those called to make decisions of public policy. Bless the means which are used to stay the spread of sickness. Strengthen those who labor to heal and comfort the afflicted. Support those who are in pain and distress. Speedily restore those who have been brought low, and unto all who are beyond healing in this life, grant your heavenly consolation and your saving grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, we commit ourselves into your hands, good Father, for your care and protection, for your provision of our needs, and for our whole salvation, ourselves, our loved ones, and all who love and pray for us. Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us and give us peace, now and in the age to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, let us confess together our undoubted Catholic faith. People of God, what do you believe, and for what would you be willing to die? I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The day of resurrection, the dead is
People of God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Almighty God, who from the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ has caused the light of eternal life to shine upon the world, be pleased at this season of solemn joy to spread abroad your love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and to inflame them with heavenly desires, that we may continually seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at your right hand, and so abiding in purity of heart and mind, we may at length attain to your everlasting kingdom, there to dwell in the glorious light of your presence, world without end, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. People of God, go in peace. The Trinity has saved you. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Alleluia. Amen.
Yeah.